Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
All right, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Say 13 like an Aussie, 13. Say church like an Aussie, church. Church. 13. Matthew 13. And so this is the first message of a series on purpose. And this is a big subject, a huge subject for all of us. Decision making, direction, knowing what to do next. I know that you and I want to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives. Am I right? You, while you're living and breathing on this planet, you have a plan and purpose from God. You were created by God, but you weren't created for nothing. You were created for a specific God-ordained destiny, and that there's this tapestry called the kingdom that involves many different facets, and you are one of them. Many parts playing, each doing their part, and the more people that say yes to God, the greater the advancement of the kingdom is on planet Earth. And I'm so excited to live in this generation, and you ought to be excited. You ought to be excited of the days that you live in, that you live in the days where Canada wins the NBA, that you live in the days where... anyone can tell we're excited? I know. All right. But you ought to be excited for the time that you're in, and you might think, why was I born at this time? And you might look at other times or whatever, but the point is you're here perfectly, and you were created perfectly, whether you believe that or not. And I'm not preaching into identity today, but the deal is you are perfect in God. So get used to it. Like yourself. Amen. The more ability you have to know who you are in Jesus, the greater the ability you have to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Amen. Amen. So you discover purpose by discovering God. So when you know your creator, you know the creation. You're the creation. When you know the creation, you know what to do. And that's the way it works. You don't try and work out your purpose and then along, you know, a career path or decision making or along that journey, you try and discover self. And then hopefully if you discover self at some point, you might consider God. And that's the way a lot of people do it. Get spiritual kind of at the end of life. But if you discover God first, you go to Him first, make Him priority, seek first the kingdom of God, go to Him first, then you discover you, and your identity comes out of who He is, not out of who you are. Our identity is found in Christ. Somebody say in Christ. And then you know what to do. You know why you're created. And that's how this works. Amen. There's some bonus content for you. Matthew 13. And so don't turn there, but Psalms 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." Lamp for my feet, that speaks of what to do very next. How many people would love to just know what to do next? Or is the decision I'm making right now the right one? Right? There's tension all the time. Are we deciding the right things? And people make millions of dollars all around the world doing seminars of teaching people how to make decisions and how to live out purpose. And, you know, you don't need to, you can save some money. Just come to C3 and read this. All right. So, feet is like what to do next, but path is like the target. Path is the direction. Some people got a sense of direction but don't know how to get there. Some people have got a sense of what to do next but have no idea if they're on the right direction. All of the above. So I believe that there may have been some of us that have felt confused coming into today's service, but I believe in the Holy Spirit right now that eyes would be open and you would leave clear. Amen. Amen. That's my little prayer. You excited? And so words are, but if you read Psalms 119 from the Passion Translation, which I love the way this is worded, how sweet. So this is 103 to 105, Psalms 119. If you're following along in your Bible, it's not going to read the same way. So look on the screen. How sweet are your living promises to me. Sweeter than honey is your revelation light. And so we call this thing eyes open, being able to see. Christians, or a Christian word for being able to see, is revelation. Somebody say revelation. That's a Christian word for the light bulb goes on. All right? So revelation light, for your truth is the source of my understanding. Now the key word I want you to focus on is the word understanding. Your truth is the source of my understanding. I'm confused. I don't know what to do next. Am I meant to be with this person? How am I meant to navigate this thing? How am I meant to go for this career? What decisions am I meant to make financially? How do I navigate the strategy of life and strategy of this and the strategy of that? But God's truth is the source of understanding, not falsehoods of those who don't know you. So there's the key to know God, which I despise. Truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. I love that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the true light. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. How many people think that's awesome? Understanding. And in church and in your life, there doesn't need to be miscommunication between you and God. There doesn't need to be misunderstanding. But when we read the Bible sometimes, we don't know what to do because we misunderstand. Sometimes we read the Bible and it doesn't make sense to us. Anyone have those Bible reading times where you're reading it and you're like, okay, like I don't know how this applies. Then you kind of run out of time, close the book and move on. We've all been there. Anyone go to prayer sometimes? You go to prayer and you're praying to God and you're like, oh man, I'm just not feeling him. I'm just not hearing him. I have before, but you know, and this awesome word from Andrew about just sometimes that the Bible then just comes alive. And this comes through understanding. Revelation, word turns into revelation on the pathway of understanding. And so, because Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand. And so this mode of faith of understanding comes, but sometimes we can go to church and leave and get nothing. And the person next to us went to the same church service that we were sitting in and got everything. There's tears rolling down their face. They're like, you know, surrendered to God, rolling around, got baptized and everything on the same Sunday. And it's like, and then you leave and you're like, man, I'm just hungry now. And so, but I get it. This is Christian life. And like, and because we want it, but we can't take God there is a pathway to this, because sometimes we make decisions out of misunderstanding, and if we don't understand communication, if there's miscommunication, we can do something silly. I want to illustrate this by what I think is hilarious. Read it with me. So this person lost their phone, and this random person says, hello, I found your friend's phone. And the response is, which of my friends are you talking about? Well, his name is at the top of the screen right now. Oh, yes, right, of course. So can you tell him that I found the phone? Sure. Hey, some guy's got your phone. Oh, my gosh. Every time I read it, it's awesome. It's awesome. And then I picture them going, oh, whoops. I got to contact this person another way. And sometimes we get these directions from God, but if we misunderstand what's going on or the context of it or what God is really asking us to do, we might do something one way when he wants us to do something another way. And revelation is the light turning on. So when you read the Bible, you need the light to turn on. You need the bread of life, not just the bread. And bread becomes life bread through the process of faith. Faith makes it come alive. And to know the difference between a light or a word and the difference between the light and the word. Jesus is the word, the light, the truth. But there are some truths, some lights, and some words. But if you follow the wrong light, you might go down the wrong path. And revelation, understanding, spiritual blindness is our enemy. But the eyes of our understanding get enlightened through revelation and wisdom, and that light turns on in us, and then you got this sense of next step, next direction, pathway. I grew up in the country, and you know, not many of us know this, but street lights don't exist on every single street. Like if you're driving in the country, there's no street lights. And if it's a cloudy night, when we first got our license, I played this game with a friend where we'd swap driving and we'd see if we turned the lights of the car off, who could last the longest, and we'd time each other. Who could last the longest before freaking out because you can't see anything and there's like forest beside us and so you're driving. So anxiety hits when the lights are off. You know, when you're navigating through your bedroom at night. And why is it always your little toe that you hit? Why did God put the little toe on the outside? Like, mistake, God. It should have been, the big toe should have been on the outside because that one could take a beating. My little toes are like so damaged. We need light. We need light. And you're driving along and trying to navigate life, and we do it on a dead straight road. And even on a straight road without light, you feel anxious and you feel like you're going to crash. And the Bible says that we walk life on a narrow road, so even more anxiety. How are we meant to navigate this thing called life if we do not have the light of Jesus lit on the inside of us? And then so you'd freak out, you think you're going to crash into a tree, and you turn the light on, and it's like 3 seconds, and you're like, ah, you know? And so I believe that as you understand the word and let it become light in you, you will know your purpose. And you're like, Sam, easier said than done. It is actually not hard. So Matthew 13 says this, and talking about path, talking about the word of God. So the title of the message, I should have given you that before. His word is the lamp to purpose. I strategically wrote that title with key words. His word, not a word. His word is our lamp. Oh, I said it wrong and I told you I strategically chose the words. Is our lamp to purpose. All right. Jesus taught in parables. Some would say parables can be confusing. Then in verse 3, he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out. Sometimes God speaking to you can feel like he's telling you many things in parables. It's like, Jesus, would you just make sense already? Anybody? Am I okay to relate to you on a like real level? Or do you want me to be super fake in church? All right. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed. And as he was scattering seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came up and ate it, those silly birds. Some fell on rocky places. So I want to talk about that first one, the path, the scattered seed on path where the birds came. That's the one I'm going to zone in on, but I'll read the rest just for your benefit and context. Some fell on rocky places where he did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So the second soil, that soil is about people who get excited about saying yes to God, and then the first moment a trial or the troubles of life hit, because it's not deep, we're built on sand, not on rock, we get taken out. And so that's that soil, but I'm not preaching that message today. And the other seed, verse 7, fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And sometimes we can let thorns grow up, which is like we can let sin grow at the same time as trying to get the word to work. Or we can let disobedience grow at the same time of letting the word work. Or we can let sub-truths, other people's opinions, you know, other people's gospels, ideology, we can let different things grow at the same time as the word of God, and we're wondering why the word's not working is because we've got to tend to the soil and pull out some weeds. Somebody say, pull out some weeds. And then turn to the person next to you and say, you are not a weed. All right. And then still others fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Then it goes on in verse 11 and says, to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever will be given, more will be given in its abundance. Whoever does not have, even what has will be taken away from them. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. There's that word understand again. So it's key revelation that if you are going to walk the plan and purpose of your life, if you and I are going to obey God, we need to see and see correctly. We need to hear and hear correctly. Now, as I'm talking like this, you might be feeling anxiety rising, but God is good about helping us see clearly, okay? This is not meant to be an anxious building message. And then he tells the meaning of the parable in verse 19, the meaning of the first soil. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand, somebody say understand. Do you notice how I've pulled that out a whole bunch of times, all right? No, understand it. The evil one, the birds, come and snatch away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown among the path. So this is like someone who receives something good from God, but because you don't perceive it, because it's not revelation, because you don't understand it, the devil comes along and goes, thank you. Because he is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus is the one that brings life into its full. And so point one is God scatters seed generously. God is generously scattering seed. God is generously delivering his word all the time. Right now in this room, God is dropping life from heaven. Right now, every time you go into worship, he's dropping life from heaven, every time. And so... This seed needs to be right now. If we can understand or hear a word from God and then understand its application in our life, it will grow to bear fruit. And the devil will not be able to steal it. And you will know what to do next and you will know the path of your destiny. How many people are pumped about that? All right? So the key here is understanding. But the first thing that you need to know is that God's not a stingy God when it comes to giving us direction. He's very generous. He's like a farmer that's constantly scattering seed. The Bible is like popcorn. There's like, it's all in there. If you know that it's always bubbling and ready for life, like you can open the scripture and it's like seed is just ready to go. Like it's full. It's not dry and it's not meant to be misunderstood. It's ready to go. Every time we get into worship, every time you turn on a podcast and listen to a preach, every time you have a Christian, have a conversation in Connect Group, when you join Connect Group and actually go to every one of the Connect Group meetings, and as you go in those atmospheres, seed is there, and it's like direction, sense of direction. It's good that you're here to church today. As you come to church, there's seed everywhere, like it's falling from heaven right now. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand. So you're hearing, but this is, I don't want you to take notes in church and then go away and then by Sunday afternoon, like, you don't even know what God was saying anymore. And there is different things that we can do to ensure that the seed turns into life and that direction gets set and gets guided and we know exactly what to do. And seed is, like, you to just give yourself to God, to allow yourself, and I've got to do it again. I've got to commend you that you're here at church. You have strategically positioned yourself and placed yourself in an atmosphere that's alive and potent with the Word of God. That means alive and potent with the direction of heaven. That means alive and potent with your destiny. That means alive and potent to clear out confusion, because God didn't give us that spirit. He gave us the spirit of clarity, sound mind, power, that you would know. And he's good, and he's the good God and good guidance and good counselor. And as we position ourselves, God speaks. And all those people that went to the leadership retreat, you paid a price to position yourself. But because you were there, word was there available to you. And you get to receive it. And as you understand what it is, it bears the ability to turn into life. To hear and understand. And I positioned myself once when I was going through a confusing time at about the age of 18. I'm 34 now. And I went away for 3 days just praying and fasting. And I just really needed, like, I just felt lost, confused, whatever. And I really felt, I'm just going to read the book of Ephesians backwards and forwards. And no one told me to do that. It was just like, I thought it would be a good idea. Maybe because it's only 6 chapters long and super short. And you can read it in about 10 minutes. So I was like, good, I'm going to pick an easy one. And so just reading it back and forth and saying to God and like spending time with God and, you know, like, why not? And I got to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, and I felt like I'd read it a bunch of times because I was reading it backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And sometimes you do that. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you know, you don't see something for a while and all of a sudden it goes poof, just like hits you in the face. You're like, man, I've read that scripture a whole bunch of times and all of a sudden it just like it meant something. Isn't that awesome? And then sometimes you're worshiping a whole bunch of times and all of a sudden worship just boom, heaven cracks open and you feel like you're surrounded by angels. You feel like you just went into heaven. Those are awesome moments. And Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8 popped up and it said, although I'm less than the least of all Lord's people. And I related to that. I felt like I was a bit of a less than. I looked at other people and their fill and their purpose and business guys and all the rest of it. And I thought, man, I don't even know what I have to offer this world. That might be you here today. You might feel a little bit less than. You might feeling overlooked. Feel like God's perfect plan and purpose and some legit stuff is for legit people, but you don't feel legit. And then it says, and then grace was given to me to preach. And then the Holy Spirit just hits me with this target and path. You're going to preach the gospel and the riches of Christ. One verse just hit me like crazy. And I felt like it was so significant to me, it's hard to even describe. And I felt the destiny of God. And yeah, I did something to position myself a little bit, but then all of a sudden God just disrupted my world and he's good at doing that. And then I was like, then I straight after, I'm like, how? So I felt like the light to the path was like, man, you're going to preach. I'm like, really preach? And I'd think about other great preachers and I'd still feel less than. And then I still needed the lamp into my feet. I needed the next step. What am I meant to do next, God? And so I put the Bible on this. I was at a place where there was like a cliff top and this rock. And the rock was about this high. So I put the Bible down on the rock like a pulpit. And there was no one around. And I didn't know how to preach. And I just started preaching Ephesians chapter 3. Just started reading it and then saying something. It was like Ephesians 3 this and God loves you. So trying to work out how to preach. But then I got to the Ephesians 3, 16, 17 and 18 and 19 where it's And we grow with the Spirit on the inner man and we would know the love and the love that surpasses knowledge and it would lead us to strengthen us and we're strengthened by this Spirit. And then God said, you feel weak. You don't feel like you can plant a church. You don't feel like you can preach. But I tell you, if you strengthen yourself with the Spirit on the inner man, in your weakness, I am made strong. And so I started preaching that. I'm like, I feel weak, but God is strong. And then I knew the next step was to just build my relationship with Jesus. And that was it. And that's easy. I can do that. Well, it's not always easy, but I knew that all I needed to do was build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that brings me to point two. Point two is seek Jesus, don't seek purpose. You and I want to know what to do. You and I want to know what's next. Well, it's not hidden in a plan, it's hidden in a purpose, in a person. I didn't say that right. Yeah, I did. It's not hidden in a plan, it's hidden in a person. Purpose is hidden in him. We want the Word, and the Word is a person. John 1 says, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all of the universe was created from him. All of your purpose, all of your universe, all of your world is created out of Christ. The Bible actually says that Jesus is mystery. Jesus is mystery. This verse is awesome. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 says, all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. There's that word understanding again. All the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. God's mystery is Jesus. God's hidden treasure is Jesus. God's answer that many people do not have their eyes open to is Jesus. God's mystery is Christ. Okay? Cool. Then, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In whom are hidden? So he is the mystery, and in him is our mystery. That needed a way better amen. In him, he is the mystery of God, and in him is our mystery of life. So the point is, go to him. Build relationship with him. And Jesus, they said, why do you speak in parables? Just make it easy for people. Why are you making it so stinking hard, Jesus? Like, you know, they don't get what you're saying. And he's like, that's the point. Because he didn't say, I'm going to give you a plan and purpose. He said, follow me and I'll make you. He said, follow me. He said, follow me. He didn't say, I'm going to follow this plan and the plan will make you. He said, follow me and I'll make you. That is how we discover. That is what it's all about. And the mystery is like, and reading the Bible and worship and where the word is all the time. It's like, have you ever heard, you know, those magic eye books? You know the magic eye books where you, do you know what that is? Come on, help me out. A little bit of back and forth here. Yeah, yeah. So it's like the book has a picture on it and that it's, I don't know how it even works. It's magic. But there's like a picture that you've got to see behind the picture. And that's what a parable is. A parable is, I'm going to give you a picture. It makes sense just on its own. But if you look with eyes of faith, you'll see another picture. Jesus looks good by himself. But if you look into Christ with eyes of faith, you'll see your picture. And you know, you stare at it and you're focused on it. And this is why Peter, when he took his eyes off Jesus, he went a different way and fell in the waves. The key is to stare at Jesus. And people tell you, stare. I could never do it. People tell you, stare at the picture and you're staring at it, staring at it, staring at it, staring at it. And then they're like, you know, your eyes are glazing over. You're like, I can't see it. What am I meant to see? And like, you're looking at it and you might think that reading the Bible, you might think that praying, you might think that whatever. But the frustration ought to drive you to keep looking. The frustration ought to drive you to try it a different way. And people are like, try it cross-eyed. And so you're like, still can't. And then you see it. Then you see, like, you know, like you're looking at a house and then all of a sudden you see a dolphin. And you're like, I get it, I see it. And then you were looking at the scriptures and then all of a sudden the scripture comes out and you see the life, you see the answer, you see the next step. How good are those moments when you go to God in prayer and you devote yourself as a disciplined one, as a disciple of Jesus, and out of the faith by works, that's how it happens. Faith without works is dead. But if you marry your faith up with works and devotion to Jesus, life will be revealed. It will come out at you and it will be made manifest to you. Isn't that so good? So stare at Jesus and the picture of your purpose will become visible. And then point three is by faith. So the key here is faith. Believe that there is a dolphin behind that stinking house. I know it sounds like a silly illustration, but it's hard to illustrate faith. But faith sees the things hoped for. So the faith is our approach. Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand. There's that word understand again. Why do I keep going to church but I don't get it? Why do I keep going to prayer but I don't get it? I don't hear it. Why do I keep going to the Bible but I don't get it? Don't let that frustration cause you to give up. Let the tenacity of faith drive you into it again. And then you will find that when scripture comes to life in you and then you realize it works, you'll want to keep reading it. And so you got to work it. You got to tend to it because the birds of the air come. Like 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the New Living Translation says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't have faith, of those who don't believe. Why is it that some people sit in church and have full revelation, and then the person sitting next to them is in church and get nothing? It's faith. Faith has reach. It has the arm into destiny. Faith is the things hoped for and the evidence of what I don't yet see. How do I have evidence of what I don't see? I don't see it, but I understand it, because faith pulls the realities of heaven into my world. And Satan wants you to stay away from purpose, and he'll do everything he can that you stay out of faith. But the cool thing about faith, it's the very answer, and it's the shield against Satan's weapons. The Bible says it's the shield of faith. So he puts these arrows against your destiny, these arrows against your purpose, these arrows of confusion, these arrows that are lies, these arrows that are misappropriated identity, these arrows that come into your world that says you can't do it. You don't, that little word, you know how God told you that word of your calling and you got a sense of it? The next thing that's going to happen is the devil is going to fly another word in there that says, Adam and Eve, God said, you'll be like us. We created them to be like us. And the devil's like, you want to be like God, do it this way. Well, the point was the same. They're going to be like God, but it was God's strategy and God's method of how they were going to get there, not the devil's. All right. Is it? There are people here under the sound of my voice that have had too many seeds stolen from your destiny. And in the name of Jesus, we are done. We are done listening to the enemy. We're done believing lies. We are done. We put that shield of faith up and say, shut up. When those weeds tried to grow and those thoughts try to get sown in, we take captive every thought and we make it obedient and accountable to the anointed one. We make it accountable to Christ and we say, no, the word is but a seed right now. It only looks like a seed. It just looks small, but do not plant something else in my life, because I'm going to see fruit from this sucker. I'm going to see this word come into life. I'm going to see God's plan and purpose made manifest in my life. And I'm going to put up that shield of faith and say, enemy, get out of here. You don't get to be the thief today. You don't get to be the enemy today. You don't get to be that robber and steal, kill and destroy from my life today. You've gone there too many times and I'm giving you no access. Shut down. Shut down. Because my purpose matters way too much. And I need not to be confused. He didn't give me a spirit of fear and anxiety. He gave me a presence of love, power, and a sound mind. And when you try and put your forces against me and you try and put your enemy against me, I know that he's given me a spirit of power to shut you down. And I have clarity on what God's asked me to do. I have a sound mind on what he's asked me to do. And you can say what you say, but I don't live by your words. I live by the bread of heaven. I live by the life bread of God. And it's his word in my life. Why am I shouting like this? Because I believe in your purpose. I believe in your potential. I believe in the call of God on your life. And the devil, as far as I'm concerned, has way too much access into our worlds. We need to get our little glorified supernatural BB guns out and shoot down those birds. So, pah, 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 get out of there. This is my seed. This is my word. It's a metaphor. We don't actually want to harm animals. You got to tend to it. Farmers have calloused hands because they're hard workers. People of faith have calloused hands because they're hard workers. We work by faith. We fight the good fight of faith. Faith fights. Faith doesn't sit on a couch and let the word of God grow. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 30, I went by the field of a lazy man and the vineyard of the man of devoid of understanding. Laziness and misunderstanding go hand in hand. But faith isn't lazy. Faith says, I'm going to get to Connect Group. Shut up. I'm going to get to church. Shut up. I'm not going to hit that snooze button. I'm going to wake up and pray. Shut up. I'm not going to confess that. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to confess this. Shut up. Faith works. Work it. Turn to the person you need to say, you work it. Say it with attitude. You work it. Work the faith. Work the faith. Work the faith. Farm it. Tend it. And the way you tend it is you tend it in worship. The way you tend it is you tend it in prayer. The way you tend it is you surround yourself with strength of good community and good people. The way you tend it is to stop listening to the attack of the enemy. I'm going to get the keys up. In the same chapter in Matthew 13, there's another parable that Jesus tells in verse 31 where he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. And the man planted it in the field. There are seeds that he's planting in your field, in your life. The field represents your life. The seed represents the word of God. And when it grows, even though it's small, it's the smallest of all seeds, when it grows to the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. Becomes a tree. You know, mustard seeds don't grow on mustard trees. They grow on shrubs. Why would the Bible use the word tree when it makes sense to use the word shrub or bush, mustard seeds? It's because the kingdom doesn't make sense. And what seems small and insignificant with the working of faith becomes supernatural. And you might feel small and insignificant. You might feel overlooked. You might feel misunderstood. But there's faith on the inside of you that will work that small thing. And what was first not seen will become a story in your life. A testimony in your life that will give God so much glory that when it was first not seen, now it will not be ignored. And it happens through faith. The church started with 12 disciples, and now what it is today, 2 billion people, 2 billion Christians around the planet worshiping Jesus, started as a seed. The kingdom is like a seed. It's like something small that people don't take notice in. But if you let that thing die and you give it in the hands of God, then it grows up and bears root and it becomes fruitful and it becomes this everlasting thing. That's the church. That's what that parable is. It's a description of the kingdom on the planet. The plan and purpose of your life starts as a little word. You're going to be a preacher one day. And then what you do with that word through faith will determine whether it turns into a tree or if it stays as seed. The farmer's scattering. The farmer's scattering. No, you're not too old. There's more for you. Farmers scattering. No, that sin didn't mess up your destiny. You don't take shame. There's no condemnation. That doesn't define you. He's scattering. You've got what it takes. He's scattering. What you do with the word is you take it and you believe it. Other people say, don't believe that. You're an idiot. You're like, well, you can call me foolish, but I thought it was the foolish things that kingdom. You might feel foolish to believe what God's telling you right now, but so do I. I feel foolish to believe the destiny of this church. I feel foolish to believe who I am in God. I feel foolish, but people said Jesus was a fool. And Jesus was the seed that was planted by the Father in heaven. And the seed of Jesus was planted into the world. People overlooked that seed. People misunderstood that seed. People criticized that seed. People said, how could any good thing come from Nazareth to that seed? And what was first small and overlooked, through the spirit of faith, became something that gives God glory and can't be ignored. Christ, seated on high, the right hand of the Father. And right now, there are people that are still looking at Jesus and saying it doesn't matter, it's insignificant. But there will be a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And we won't be able to ignore the Savior anymore. So I want to pray for you right now, because I got a sense that I'm in a room filled with people that want to fulfill the God-given plan and destiny for their lives. And there is words right now from heaven that He's speaking to you. And you know it. You see it. Have the courage of faith to take it in. You might feel like an idiot at first. Take it in. You might feel like none of it makes sense at first. Take it in. This is what faith does. And then protect it. Shield it with the shield of faith. Nurture it. Tend to it. Work it with the works of faith. Surround it to make it work, to nurture it, to grow it. Give it, fertilize it. I don't know, how many more analogies could I give you out of the farming world? Just get that seed in your life and stand with me and I with you that the devil is not going to steal it. He is not stealing the word of God. So Father God, right now, all across this room, I pray for each and every person with a plan and a destiny from heaven that we would take the words of God and it would light our path. It would be a lamp unto our feet. And we would get clarity of direction. We would be able to stand strong in confidence and know what to do. Lord God, help us with our unbelief. But Father God, whatever that word is, protect it, guard it. Some of you are carrying a word of a promised spouse. And you're single and you don't know to believe that word anymore. Well, I want to tell you, guard that word. Nurture it. Believe it. Don't listen to lies. Some of you have a word of what you're meant to do for the kingdom of God. And when you say it out loud, it sounds like foolishness. No, you guard that thing. You're not foolish. Believe big. Go crazy. Do you. Nurture it in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, move across this room right now. Scatter your seed. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, there are people in this room that have yet to invite Jesus into their heart, yet to begin a relationship with the Creator of the universe. And all of life comes out of that decision. Jesus wants you to receive Him and believe in Him. And in a moment, we're all going to pray together as a church. And I'm going to ask people to raise their hands in a moment. And if you've never made a decision to invite Jesus into your heart, when I ask people to raise their hands, you're going to shoot your hand up nice and high because you want to be included in this prayer. Or maybe you're someone who once made a decision for Jesus, but you're sitting here right now and you know that your life isn't where it needs to be with God. And you know that you need to recommit your life to Christ. And in a moment, when I ask people to raise their hand, you too are going to shoot your hand up high before heaven and say, I want to be included in this prayer. In a prayer that makes my heart right with God. In a prayer that sets me free. Or maybe you're someone and if you were to die, you would doubt if you would go to heaven. Well, you shouldn't live another single second with that anxiety and that doubt. And the Bible says is that Jesus is the assurance of our place in heaven. And when I say, raise your hand, you too are going to raise your hand, and then you're going to be sure that you have a home with the Father in heaven. So with nobody looking around and every head bowed and every eye closed and respecting each other's privacy in these last moments of this service, right before the Raptors win the NBA. I'm playing. Stop. This is serious. I thank you, Jesus, right now, that if you are here and you want to accept Jesus for the first time, you want to recommit your life to Christ, or you want the assurance found in salvation, lift your hand up nice and high right now.